Welcome to This Week in Metropolis. The transmission will begin shortly.
King P here.
And Studio 7, and welcome to the third episode of This Week in Metropolis.
Fantastic. So to start us off, just to get straight into the subjects, don't know if you've seen this week, it first started as a leak, this bit of information regarding the PlayStation 5. I think it was a, I believe it was a developer who is potentially working on the next generation games had, I think on Reddit or one of those sites had sort of leaked some information regarding the specs. And then a couple of days later, Sony had actually released the information regarding the PlayStation 5. Mm. Because what I didn't realise, and it makes a perfect sense that they're releasing it now, really, is apparently every 7 years on average is when they release a console. So I think it was that the PS4, I believe, was 2013. So then looking at 2020 for the next one. And I think the PS3 was 7 years before that and so on. Have you seen the specs of it?
Yeah, I was reading an article on BBC, I think, the other day. And they were talking about just how quick it's going to be, like the loading screens and things like that. I think they showed some sort of test on it for the Spider-Man game, and it was something like just under 5 seconds, for it to load from one location to another.
Even less than that. It's
That was on PlayStation 4. So they showed what the loading screen time is on PS4, and then showed you it on the PS5 with the tech that they're going to use on it. And it was something like 0.8 seconds, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So looking at the specs here, Spider-Man on the PS4 is 15 seconds to load, and then the same load time, which apparently when they're demonstrating, it was actually a low speed demonstration, so aimed for it to be quicker, was 0.8 seconds, which is crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy.
Am I right in thinking that with the PS4, one of the things that they really focused on, particularly at this sort of stage when they're demoing it, was that no load times or something, or some sort of thing that, you didn't have a loading screen, you was playing a bit in the game and then it would sort of transition straight into it. I'm sure that was the case, wasn't
it? Even with like FIFA, which I play a lot of, you have kind of training games that you play in between, so while the actual game is loading up. Some of them can last a couple of minutes and then you can skip off of it, or you can carry on doing the training section. But
so I guess it's a less innovation in a way, but it's more sort of smoke and mirrors. They're distracting you while it's loading rather than doing it any quicker.
Exactly.
I think the thing for me, and I was talking about this the other day with someone, is for me now, this, even though what they're saying is very impressive, I think it's less with each version that comes out, I guess a bit like iPhones and stuff like that. They're refining it, but there's no real not a great deal of an advance, I guess, compared to what's out currently. And I think that the comparison I would make is a lot of the things that they've mentioned in the PS5 are things that are openly available with PCs, for example. If you was building a PC, that all that stuff is there whereas before you would get a console and it would be such a huge leap and you'd be looking at things and thinking, wow, that's incredible. Whereas I don't know, for me, the specs, although impressive for a home console, it was, I don't know, a bit familiar, is the way I describe it.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the other things was that it's going to be 8K.
Which things like that. Leads from what we were talking about last week, which reminded me that.
Exactly. But on a games console related story that I saw this week, Capcom have revealed that they're going to release a home arcade console I'm guessing along the same lines as the mini consoles that we've seen over the last few years now, with which SNES or Nintendo and Sega have both released. But it's going to come with the old joysticks. I think it's going to come with two joysticks, maybe. And it will literally be a plug and play. And the games on it, I mean, the one that I was looking for straight away was Street Fighter 2, which for me was back in the day when I had my SNES. I remember that was awesome, that game. But some of the games on there, you got Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
I feel like 1944, The Loopmaster. I feel like I've heard of that one. Not one I've necessarily played.
Isn't that the sort of World War II, you're flying planes, I believe, isn't it? It's something like that.
Ghouls and Ghosts, that's another game that rings a bell.
So Ghouls and Ghosts is the one where it's side-scrolling and you're a little knight. You're running along through a great graveyard, and as you get hit, you first lose your clothes and you're in pants, you lose your armour, and then in the end you're a skeleton, if you remember that.
Classic.
It's an amazing game.
Mega Man, that's one everyone must remember as well, classic. So I just thought, I mean, there's a fair few. I think there's about 16 games on it, so it's pretty good. Due for release in October, I think. I don't know whether that would be UK
apparently
at the same time. But it says in the UK the machine will cost £230.
Mm-hmm.
That's substantial, considering what the classic Nintendo... I mean, it is old-school gaming as well, so it's not like it's... Oh, we're talking about the comparisons in price on... what a PS5 might be.
I was going to say, realistically, a £200, you could get yourself an Xbox One for that now.
They've got Xbox One, I think I read earlier, they've got another console coming out, which isn't going to have a disc drive. So
yeah, and that's right. That's coming out next month, I believe.
I mean, that must be like the third or fourth version of the Xbox One that's been released. I mean, that was another thing about the PS, going back to the PS5, is that will have a disc drive, and it will be... What's the term they use where you can play things
compatible?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So interesting that I don't know whether that means Xbox might go in a direction where it is all digital download only.
Which maybe. I think they are from being Xbox users myself and having Xbox Live and so on.
Mm.
It's very much. I find now it's very rare that you would even want to buy a game, particularly if you've got a gold subscription, they give you 3 games a month for free.
Yeah.
So for paying that £30 and then getting 3 games a month for free, which are older games, but God, you know, it's really cheap. But going back to the Capcom thing, Capcom probably growing up and even now as a publisher or a games developer, number one, being the sort of Street Fighter fan that I am, one of the games on there as well, Final Fight, that they've added to this console, absolutely phenomenal. One that I used to play regularly on the arcade, and most of the games for me that were on that list were arcade ones, and it's quite refreshing that they've acknowledged that in the sense of. What they're selling is 2 arcade joysticks, 6 buttons a piece, and so on, that then plugs into your TV. So you're getting that sort of, arcade experience at home. The thing for me, though, is, I don't know, I've bought the majority of the retro consoles that have come out. The Nintendo one's got the PlayStation one, which is sort of questionable at best, to be honest. But I don't know, it's to own a little NES or a little SNES has got that nostalgic factor and it's cool. To have I can't remember how big they said it was, something like 74 centimetres long, so it's a hefty old beast, this joystick thing. To have a massive joystick that is in the shape of the word Capcom, I don't know, do you really want that? And for £200,
it's not something that you're just going to be able to tuck away somewhere, is it? Either it's
no, quite, exactly.
It's quite a big bit of kit. That's what I mean. No. I mean, I'd rather probably invest that in the latest console, you know, and pay another 100, 200, if you know, depending on what they're going to retail at. But to buy something like you say that's
It's a novelty item.
It's a novelty item. I mean, yeah.
And what you could do, you know, quite easily for far less money is you could, well, if you've got a computer, you could run an emulator with them on, obviously not legal as such, but you can get a professional sort of fighting stick, as they're called, for Street Fighter and stuff like that, for just over 100 quid. If you want to fund that route, I think some probably do go about 60 for a half decent one of those. So again, there are other options that could get you exactly the same thing as they're offering there with it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there will be a demand for it. But what I suspect is, as what happened with the PlayStation 1, that came out, I think that was nearly 100 quid, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah.
Within about a month of it being released, I think that was down to a bit of 50.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd buy it for 50 maybe, you know, if it was on sale, but yeah. Nothing more. Yeah. One last point on it, though, is that I was reading, which makes perfect sense. It's got HDMI interface and a USB for power.
Right.
But, you know, if you've got your TV or whatever, you'd have to just invest in a very, very long HDMI cable or equally USB cable to get yourself a decent distance from your telly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd be sitting there sort of staring up at your telly with your chin touching it almost because it's so short. Leading on to a gaming related path, Apple. I don't know whether it was last week. I've got a feeling it was a little while ago on one of their last sort of demonstrations, new products and so on. Apple announced that they could do a subscription-based gaming service. So, I mean, clearly with their App Store and so on, they're already in the games industry as such.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple Arcade is what it's going to be called. And will feature 100 new and exclusive games set to release at the end of the year. So clearly they're investing in the space. Also, it seems like they're following almost like a Netflix-style sort of pattern in terms of original content that you'll only be able to get from this Apple service. I mean, what really interested me about this, because it's a fairly normal story, a lot of games companies or a lot of media companies are getting involved in gaming because it is such a big market. But they've allocated $500 million to start acquiring sort of games titles in the 150 countries they sort of will be operating this service into. Which to me, I know really, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think a company like Apple can seriously now overthrow, I don't know, someone like Xbox or someone like Sony, not well established in the space, or I guess probably a better comparison would be someone like Steam, which is, you know, there to distribute games and so on. I know Apple has the market share in terms of phones and stuff like that, but I think it's quite hard to build a games franchise as such and get those sort of titles in there. What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess you only have to look at the success that Apple have from a mobile perspective, even down to the Apple Store with gaming apps. You know, if they could transfer that, some of that fan base, I guess, over. And one of the biggest things I think will be for Apple is to have original content. Gaming wise, I watched I can't remember who it was I was watching the other day. So there's a wrestler who Austin Creed who's got his own YouTube channel called Up Up Down Down.
Right.
And he has other wrestlers on and they play video games because he's well into his video games. Yeah. Just check it out, actually. I think you quite like it. And they were talking about they played Streets of Rage or something. Like you get someone on and they'll say, like, what game do you want to play? And they play a game. And the guy who he had on was talking about how he's an Xbox fan. He's always been on Xbox, but he's quite tempted to go over to PlayStation because of the amount of original, exclusive games that they have.
Yeah.
So like Spider-Man, I think, is an exclusive one to PlayStation. So things like that. So if Apple can acquire that sort of level of game, because no doubt they've got the tech probably to create something on the same sort of level, but we've seen it before, like, you know, when Sega were trying to compete, you know, when you go back to some of the consoles, even Nintendo have, you know, had a few failed attempts really to get to that level again. So no doubt they could do it, they just need the right games to attract people to make that purchase.
Yeah, I think the biggest comparison with what Apple are trying to do now is sort of Microsoft in the early last decade, when I don't know if you remember, when Xbox came out, it was a bit of a joke. And it, well, not really a joke, but you know, people were so invested in Sony by that point. You know, PlayStation had dominated Nintendo. Mm. N64 was still sort of around and so on. They'd just brought the GameCube out, Nintendo had, and that. And that was really underpowered compared to the PS2 at the time. And Microsoft weren't cool. Microsoft were a company that was, you know, just a bit old and, you know, didn't have that cool reputation that Sony did. And to bring out a games console, everyone looked at it as a bit, oh, well, what are they doing? You know, how are they going to do a serious stuff? But they got Halo. And a game like Halo came out. It changed people's minds because it was such a credible game. It was such a new game to bring to the market, and it, you know, established. And
there was there was nothing like that on PlayStation, was there, at the time?
Exactly.
And I think that, like you say, it was the appeal factor. I remember the first Xbox I got was purely because of Gears of War.
Yeah, you know, that's an exclusive title, isn't it? Yeah.
So it is them exclusive ones that you can't, you know, because if you can get it on a PlayStation or vice versa, then why bother getting another console? Yeah. But it is them exclusive ones that are the lure to purchase whatever console. And I think, like, going back to it, if Apple can do that and get a game that's different, that's original, and like you say, has got the appeal factor, then they'll do well.
I was going to say, the only other sort of threat I think I see at the moment with existing companies, but less of the hardware companies like Xbox and Sony, because, you know, ultimately they're producing the things that people play on. But a threat for existing providers like Steam, and also people new trying to come into the market, is there's a trend now, particularly with Epic, as a games company who make Fortnite, which has been hugely successful, generates billions and billions and billions. They sell Fortnite through their own platform. So it's the Epic Store, you have to get it from them. So keeping their own ecosystem, you can only buy V-Bucks from them, which is in-game currency. You can only buy the skins directly from them. So these big publishers are very much sort of, they know they've got success, they've got the money, they can then corner that market. And there's something like Fortnite, you can play it on a mobile, you can play it on a PC, you can play it on an Xbox, you can play it anywhere. And they are now starting to roll out the technology that they use as a company to enable you to do it on any platform. They're allowing other companies to use it. So, again, that's a real threat to existing companies, but also, you know, newer companies coming in, because they've got such a head start with that, and they have the technology and they have the fan base. And, you know, it's quite a big ask, I guess, for some of these companies then to come in and, you know, get as we said, you know, Apple could have their own Fortnite that suddenly captures everyone's imagination. And, you know, Apple already have billions sitting in the bank to fund these things. So
yeah,
could happen, certainly.
Yeah, they're self-made, aren't they? So they have the collateral to be able to take a hit if it doesn't come off. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. I guess that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And while we're on the subject of Apple, because it is kind of linked to what I was going to, the other story I was going to talk about, which is streaming services in general. The one I want to focus on is Disney Plus, where there's been, in the last week, there's been some titles revealed as to what's going to be coming on to their streaming service. But on a bit of a side note and linked to that, Netflix, obviously, were probably the first ones to really break through in the streaming, yeah, home streaming service. And then along with Amazon as well, they're saying they don't think it will impact too heavily on them with Disney starting up their own streaming, yeah, service. But Apple as well, just going back to what you were saying, they're, yeah, also going down that line of setup. They had a big reveal, didn't they, a few weeks, yeah, ago, I think, and they had a star-studded car. I think Oprah, yeah, was on there promoting, right, it. Yeah. So it was quite big. But so, you know, Apple trying to make big strides elsewhere at the moment, which is interesting. It's funny that when you think about Netflix, I've had Netflix for a good few years now and absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But now that you've got all these other ones, you do start to wonder, well, they're all, you know, a lot of my favourite shows are, you know, we've talked about the superhero stuff on there before, Daredevil, yeah, and stuff like that. They're all obviously leaving.
Yeah.
Off of Netflix. So whether they carry on Disney, I still think it's a little bit too dark for what a link with Disney. Do you know what I mean? I know it all comes, yeah, under that umbrella, but them particular shows, you know, they're easily, yeah, 15, 18, some of them, yeah, you know what I mean? But just wanted to run through a couple of the titles that were revealed. One of them, yeah, is a stand, because they're going to have all of the, I'm pretty sure all of the Marvel films,
yeah,
on the streaming service for Disney. But they're also going to have some TV series,
yeah,
of some of them, so like standalone ones. So Loki's one of them, and I don't know whether this will have any impact on where the Endgame is, yeah, heading. You know, could this potentially answer? I mean, we already know certain films that are still to come out, so we know certain survivors from Endgame, or you'd like to think so.
Yeah.
But Loki's there. He was killed off in Infinity War, so
that's very true. He was, wasn't, yeah, he? I don't think so. Maybe it's some sort of prequel or something like that. Do you,
yeah,
think?
potentially. Could his be going awkward down like an origin story. Could yeah, be there.
And his awkward teenage years, yeah, or something, yeah, like that.
Or stop being so great, Dad. Also, coming out, we've got Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know whether, yeah, that's going to be, is that going to be both of them in the same one? Essentially. Hawkeye is going to have his own, yeah, one, which would be good. And the other character is the show's titled WandaVision, which is, didn't she have the Scarlet Witch? Was she something like that?
I don't know.
That's the Olsen twins' sister, Elizabeth, really? Olsen. Yeah. The one who falls in love with
Vision.
Vision, yeah. Paul Bettany, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, what? That's ridiculous. I know. I always looked at her and thought, you look familiar. But I had no idea that she was an, yeah, awesome twin sister.
She's not one of the twins. Yeah. She's the more successful sister.
Lesser known one.
Yeah. I didn't know until I think she'd done an interview on an American chat show. But yeah, so a lot of standalones coming on there, but obviously the other stuff that Disney have got on there, and links to another thing that we've spoken about already this week off air, is Star Wars. They've got some standalone, yeah, Star Wars series, yeah, as well.
And the Mandalorian. And
that's it, yeah.
Which is directed by Jon Favreau.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, he's done great stuff with Iron Man, hasn't he? Yeah, so, yeah, you know, trust him with it, and yeah, I think that I don't know whether you know, not being a huge Star Wars fan, there was lots of a series called The Clone Wars, which I think they're actually bringing, yep, back, which was, yep, an amazing animated series, and that focused a lot on the sort of Mandalorians and so on, which, yeah, it should be a really good, really good spin-off. I think I'm looking forward to that.
And what were your thoughts on the trailer for the next film to come out?
Mind-blowing. I have always have a moment, an emotional moment, when the new Star Wars trailer comes out, and I sit there, and Disney, especially now they're doing it, just push all of my buttons, and yeah, I'm just left in awe. Let's say, looks amazing. Looks absolutely, yeah, amazing.
I mean, the scenes from just the trailer, which was only probably a couple of minutes long,
yeah,
looked incredible.
Yeah.
And
I just think they you know, star, and I'm a huge fan, so I'm a bit biased, but the newer films, even though there have been flaws to them, definitely, they're not perfect, especially the last one, really, Last Jedi wasn't a perfect film by any means, but it just the sheer magnitude of it, the way it, you know, visually that some of the scenes in it is a work of art, honestly. Mm. And I just don't see it. And people probably very much disagree with me with this. I don't see a comparison in other films. The Avengers films, amazing, grand,
yeah.
But just the scale of some of the things and the effects in some of the Star Wars films just leave you reeling.
I mean, we've spoken about it before, but even when you look back on the old ones, like you mentioned, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I've seen them all, other than the last one, the last Jedi. But the original ones, I've got the box set. I've seen them all. Yeah. But even when you watch them, for the time you don't watch it now and go, oh, it's really dated. Like, it's still incredible to see them. So knowing the technology that they've got now to use in movies. Yeah. It's mind-bending,
basically. Yeah.
Where do you see it going next? Is it going to follow on from? Because we had the one that came in Rogue. Was that Rogue One?
Rogue One. Yeah. Yeah.
So, do you think they're going to link up to that, or are they? Do you think it will just be a whole new story off in a different direction?
Well, the original plan that they had was where alongside the final trilogy that they were making. They were going to do the sort of origin stories. So they did Solo.
Yep.
Which absolutely bombed. I've not seen it. And I'll be honest, until this conversation, I actually forgot that that film existed. But because the Solo film was such a poor success, they scrapped them all. Because I think they were doing, and just said, right, we've made a mistake with this. We're now going to focus on the actual Star Wars films to make sure they are right. Because I think they were doing a Boba Fett one, and they were doing, I can't remember the other one. There was another one in there that they were, maybe, I don't know, I can't remember. But they were doing some more origin story ones, which I think would be okay. But I'm not a die-hard sort of Star Wars fan to the extent that some people are, but I know that you've got the main sort of films and the stories around that, but you've also got what would they call it? I guess it's a bit like they say in the Marvel Universe. I think it's like the Star Wars Universe. Now, people have written novels of the stories in between each of the things, and that's how things like the Clone Wars. Fit in between the animated thing, the Clone Wars fit in between Star Wars Rebels as well, sort of again an animated thing fit in between the trilogies. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of room in between there that you can you can explore. So you don't have to stray that far away from it, but you know it does follow a huge story. And Rogue One I think is a very good example of that. Rogue One. Was inspired literally by some of the story on the first film, where it's saying to you that a group of rebels stole the plans of the Death Star. And it is literally a couple of lines from that, and they based the whole film on that, how they got the plans and the sacrifice they had to make to get them and so on. So you know, it's infinite, I guess, you know, what they can do with it. But what I was going to say in the Disney thing, going back to your original point, I think it's the first streaming service I've seen where I thought I would like that, because the amount of content that Disney owns. And if they're prepared to commit to put all of that on there, if you think, you know, all of the classic Disney films, all of the classic TV shows, all of the, you've got Marvel now, you've got the whole Lucasfilm, the Star Wars thing, you've got Pixar.
Yeah.
Good. You know, and that whole body of work is just
and
amazing.
Any future things that they take over and purchase, you think... I'm sure there's a connection with Fox, isn't there, as well now? I'm sure they've just agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll have every single series of The Simpsons, I believe, on there. And all of this stuff available to you. They could easily, you know, dominate the market. And they are, as you said, you know, things are now starting to leave Netflix and those sort of services because Disney isn't renewing the contracts anymore. Because it's like, well, we've got our own service now. But I think they walked away, I think, from something like $2 billion from certain films that they were selling to Netflix. So, but it's going to take a few years for those contracts to expire. So it'll be a little while.
Interesting.
But, for a very interesting future. I think that's at the end of this year, isn't it? And that,
As far as I'm aware, it seems to have come around really quickly, but because you know, it doesn't feel like that long ago that it was announced that they were going to be doing their own streaming service. But like you say, with them coming, Apple releasing details of a lot of original content that they're going to bring on and exclusive stuff. Surprising that Netflix are as calm as what they are. I'm sure they're probably working behind the scenes on a lot of their own stuff as well. Yeah. But watch this space, I'd say.
And a lot of their, what's it called, original things that they've made have been great, haven't they? I think on Netflix, the TV, as well as some of the movies and that they've done are very, very good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I think we've covered quite a few interesting things this evening with the gaming and the new streaming services available. We will be doing another episode at similar time next week.
Yeah, and you can find us on anchor.fm, but also that will take you to all the other platforms that we're shared on, things like Spotify, Pocket Casts, and a few others there, Matt. Which other ones are we on?
Google Podcasts.
Yeah.
And
some others. All of them are linked on Anchor. And we're also on YouTube as well. So don't forget to check us out on there. Links will be on our Instagram page, This Week in Metropolis. And you can also find us on Twitter, which is TWI Metropolis.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening, Transmission Mouser.